Good morning. I'm used to going last with the last name of Zabala, so we'll try to make this quick. So my name is Amanda Zabala, and very briefly I'll be talking about implementation of a drowning surveillance system for Ohio public pools. And so drowning is a public health problem because every day in the U.S. about 10 people die due to drowning. And in Ohio, it's among the leading cause of unintentional injury deaths for children under the age of 15. In Ohio, in 2010, we saw 93 drowning deaths, 36 hospitalizations, and 189 drowning-related emergency department visits. But these statistics don't fully reflect the burden of drowning in Ohio or the U.S. And in fact, drowning-related morbidity and mortality are underreported due to variations in drowning-related terminology, a lack of reporting requirements and infrastructure, as well as inconsistent use of ICD-10 codes for drowning-related injuries. Specifically related to the hospital and death certificate data, ICD-10 codes W65 to 74 identify the mechanism of drowning, but drownings are often very multifaceted, and the use of just one code for each of these leads to significant gaps in the data related to where, why, and how these injuries are occurring. Specifically related to where, in Ohio we know about 17% of drowning deaths occur in swimming pools, but 27% of these locations are indicated as unspecified. Related to why, we know that adults and children lack a swimming ability, but even our most experienced swimmers are at risk for and do drown. And related to how, in Ohio licensed public pools, we have physical barriers in place to prevent drowning-related injuries, but the circumstances leading up to these incidents are still relatively unknown. So to address these gaps in the data, the Ohio Department of Health initiated a surveillance pilot project to better understand the injuries and incidents occurring at public pools and spas. And to do this, we developed a one-page public pool and spa injury incident report form and piloted it with 23 of our local health districts during the 2015 outdoor swim season. The pools were responsible for collecting these data and submitting them to us at ODH through their local health department. And the information we wanted to capture fell under four distinct case definitions: fatal and non-fatal drowning, as well as mild and severe pool-related injury. So we really just wanted to capture everything. But for the purposes of this presentation, I'll be focusing solely on our non-fatal drowning, which we defined as survival of a drowning incident due to water rescue, resuscitation, or medical treatment by a trained medical professional. Looking at these data, we received 85 reports of pool-related incidents from just 9 of our 23 health districts, which represented 18 licensed public pools out of a possible 2,758. 47 of these reports met the case definition for non-fatal drowning. And looking at our data, we found that most of the victims were white, male, and between the ages of 5 and 9. All of our incidents included a water rescue, though resuscitation really wasn't that common and medical treatment wasn't always necessary. And most of these incidents occurred either in June or July during the afternoon or evening hours of pool operation. But the question is, did the project findings address the previously defined gaps in the data? Well, for the gap in where, we found that most incidents occurred in outdoor pools, usually in the main pool or as a result of using the diving board or slide. For the gap in why, we found that most of our water rescues were necessary for swimmers in distress or those lacking a swimming ability. And related to the gap in how, we found that most reports were actually missing information about a pool enclosure being secure, and sometimes the enclosure was indicated as not secure at the time of the incident. To evaluate this project, we distributed a survey to all 23 of our participating districts for project feedback with a response rate of about 78%. And responses indicated that our health districts found the form to have a simple flow and was relatively easy to submit, that the report forms were either somewhat or very useful for tracking pool-related incidents occurring in their jurisdictions, and that continued surveillance activities should go forward. But we did have some project barriers, all related to project acceptability. According to our health districts, we found that collecting forms from certain pools was challenging due to their issues with liability, form completion time, their general lack of authority to participate in a voluntary project. But perhaps our biggest challenge was the fact that 80% of the pools in this project, as well as in Ohio, are unguarded. So these pool operators may not be aware of the incidents occurring, or they may not be willing to report them on a voluntary basis. But a limitation of our evaluation was that we didn't capture the pool operators' perspectives. But overall, we found that surveillance of public swimming pool-related incidents was feasible and useful for both the state and local health districts aiming to understand drowning-related incidents. And in fact, we found that we probably captured more information than would have been possible using EMS data, for example, because medical treatment wasn't always necessary. And the data we collect will help determine effective prevention strategies as well as necessary policy changes to ensure healthy and safe swimming for all Ohioans. And surveillance efforts will be continued during this summer and beyond with revised project components, additional data sources and partnerships, as well as newly recruited and trained local health districts for project continuation. And with that, I would like to acknowledge my primary and secondary mentors, as well as our Class 11 CSDE fellow. And thank you very much.